Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Reversing Alzheimer's by Heather Sandison presents a practical, hope-forward guide to protecting brain health and improving cognition by addressing root causes rather than relying on a single medication or supplement. Drawing on the functional medicine perspective, Sandison frames cognitive decline as a complex, multi-factor problem influenced by metabolism, inflammation, toxins, nutrient status, hormones, sleep, stress, infections, and lifestyle patterns. The book's central idea is that many contributors to memory loss and brain fog can be measured, modified, and monitored, especially when changes are personalized. Instead of offering a one-size-fits-all plan, it emphasizes assessment, targeted interventions, and consistent habits that support the brain over time. Readers can expect discussion of common risk factors, strategies for nutrition and metabolic flexibility, and a structured toolkit for everyday life, including movement, cognitive stimulation, and environmental cleanup. While it does not promise guaranteed outcomes for every case, it aims to equip readers and families with actionable steps and a clearer path forward. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a root cause framework for cognitive decline. A major theme is shifting the conversation from treating symptoms to investigating why the brain is struggling. The book frames Alzheimer's and related cognitive issues as the downstream result of multiple stressors that can accumulate for years, including chronic inflammation, insulin resistance, nutrient insufficiencies, hormonal changes, sleep disruption, toxic exposures, and unresolved infections. This approach encourages readers to think in systems. The brain depends on stable energy production, resilient mitochondria, balanced immune signaling, and healthy blood flow. When any of these foundations are compromised, memory, attention, and mood can suffer. The toolkit mindset matters because it supports combining interventions, not betting everything on a single lever. Instead of assuming decline is inevitable, readers are guided to look for modifiable contributors and to use measurable markers, history, and symptoms to prioritize action. The practical takeaway is that progress often comes from stacking small improvements across several domains, reducing inflammatory inputs, supporting metabolic health, correcting deficiencies, and removing obstacles to healing. This framework also helps families communicate more clearly with clinicians by organizing concerns into categories that can be evaluated and followed over time. Secondly, nutrition and metabolic health as brain fuel strategy. The book places strong emphasis on food as a daily decision that influences brain energy, inflammation, and vascular health. A functional approach typically prioritizes stabilizing blood sugar and improving insulin sensitivity, since the brain is highly sensitive to metabolic disruption. Readers are encouraged to see nutrition not only as calories but as information. Meal composition affects neurotransmitter building blocks, oxidative stress, and inflammatory signaling. The toolkit commonly includes reducing highly processed foods, emphasizing nutrient-dense whole foods, and being deliberate about carbohydrates based on individual tolerance and activity level BAST, on figure 8S. Many readers will recognize a pattern of supporting metabolic flexibility, which can involve time-restricted eating or other structured routines when appropriate and safe. The core aim is to improve the quality and consistency of brain fuel while lowering metabolic strain. Beyond macronutrients, the book highlights the importance of micronutrients and essential fats for neuronal membranes and signaling. It also connects gut health to brain health through immune and inflammatory pathways, making dietary choices relevant for digestion and cognition alike. Overall, nutrition is presented as a controllable lever that can be personalized, tracked, and adjusted as cognition and biomarkers change. Thirdly, sleep, stress, and the brain's repair cycles. Another key topic is restoring the conditions under which the brain can repair and consolidate memory. Sleep is positioned as a cornerstone because it supports learning, emotional regulation, metabolic control, and the nightly housekeeping processes that help clear metabolic waste. The book encourages readers to evaluate not just sleep duration, but sleep quality, regularity, and factors that fragment rest, such as apnea risk, late caffeine or alcohol, irregular light exposure, and evening screen habits. Stress management is paired with sleep because chronic stress hormones can impair memory formation, raise blood sugar, and amplify inflammation. The toolkit angle treats stress reduction as a skill set rather than a vague suggestion. Routines, breathwork, mindful practices, social connection, and realistic scheduling can all become interventions. Importantly, the book frames these changes as brain protective, not indulgent. When sleep and stress improve, other efforts often work better, including nutrition and exercise, because cravings, energy, and motivation shift. This topic also reinforces the need to build consistency, since the brain responds to regular signals. By treating sleep and stress as measurable and improvable, the book offers a pathway for readers who feel stuck despite trying diets or supplements alone. Fourthly, movement, blood flow, and cognitive stimulation. Physical activity is presented as a direct support for brain function through improved circulation, metabolic regulation, and growth signaling that benefits neurons. The book encourages readers to think beyond a single exercise type and instead build a balanced movement plan that fits age, ability, and current health. Aerobic activity supports cardiovascular fitness and blood flow, while strength training helps maintain muscle mass and glucose control, both closely tied to cognitive resilience. Gentle mobility and balance work can reduce fall risk and keep people engaged as they age. The toolkit concept also includes cognitive stimulation and skill building, emphasizing that the brain adapts to demand when it is challenged appropriately. Activities that require focus, novelty, coordination, or learning can complement physical exercise and reinforce neuroplasticity. The book links these habits to everyday life by suggesting that small, repeatable practices are often more sustainable than extreme programs. It also addresses the importance of tracking progress and adjusting intensity, especially for readers managing fatigue, chronic illness, or early cognitive symptoms. By combining movement with mental engagement, the approach aims to strengthen both the hardware and software of cognition, circulation, and metabolism on one side, learning and attention on the other. Lastly, testing, personalization, and reducing hidden burdens, a distinctive element of the functional medicine style, is personalization through assessment, and the book highlights the value of identifying individual drivers rather than guessing. This can include reviewing medical history, medications, family risk, and lifestyle patterns, then using targeted testing to look for issues that may affect cognition. Common categories include metabolic markers, nutrient levels, inflammation indicators, thyroid and hormone patterns, and potential contributors such as toxic exposures or chronic infections. The point is not that every reader needs every test, but that a thoughtful workup can prevent wasted effort and help prioritize interventions with the highest payoff. The toolkit also addresses reducing hidden burdens in the environment and daily routines, such as improving indoor air quality, minimizing exposures that may contribute to neuroinflammation, and choosing safer household and personal care options when feasible. This topic emphasizes iteration, assess, intervene, recheck, and refine. For families navigating cognitive changes, this structured process can restore a sense of agency because progress becomes trackable and decisions become clearer. It also encourages collaboration with clinicians who can help interpret results and ensure safety, particularly when cognitive symptoms are advanced or multiple conditions coexist. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a proactive, structured approach to brain health, adults concerned about memory or brain fog, people with a family history of dementia, caregivers looking for a clearer plan, and clinicians or health coaches interested in lifestyle-centered strategies. It can benefit a reader's life by turning an overwhelming topic into practical domains they can influence: nutrition, sleep, stress, movement, and reducing hidden biological or environmental burdens. The most valuable impact is often psychological as well as physical, because the toolkit framing replaces helplessness with an organized set of next steps and measurable goals. Compared with similar books that focus mainly on a single diet, one supplement stack, or general advice to stay mentally active, this book emphasizes personalization and the idea that multiple small levers can add up. It also encourages readers to align daily habits with underlying biology such as metabolic stability and inflammation control, which makes the guidance feel more actionable and less abstract. For buyers, the value lies in its integrated roadmap. It helps you decide what to do first, what to monitor, and how to sustain changes long enough to matter, while keeping the focus on prevention and resilience. If you would like to support Heather Sanderson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.